Welcome to day 61 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. Yesterday, having seen what the scriptures principally teach us to believe concerning God, we began to consider what they require as the duty of man by looking at the law. Question 40, if you'll recall from yesterday of the Shorter Catechism, asks, what did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? Answer, the rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. Today we'll continue with the Shorter Catechism, question 41, where is the moral law summarily comprehended? Answer, the moral law is summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments. Now, if you look at Noah's dictionary of the English language, the first edition published in 1828, you'll find a definition of the word comprehend. The first definition is to contain or to include or to comprise. Example sentence, the Empire of Great Britain comprehends comprehends England, Scotland, and Ireland with their dependencies. A second definition of the word comprehend is to imply, to contain or include by implication or construction. Example sentence, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the moral law is comprehended in the Ten Commandments, which is to say, the Ten Commandments summarize the moral law. Deuteronomy 10:4, and he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And Matthew 19:17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Larger Catechism, question 98, asking the same question, where is the moral law summarily comprehended? Answers, the moral law is summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments, which were delivered by the voice of God upon Mount Sinai and written by him in two tables of stone, and are recorded in the 20th chapter of Exodus, the first four commandments containing our duty to God and the other six our duty to man. Well, let's look first at that first phrase, the moral law summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments, which were delivered by the voice of God upon Mount Sinai and written by him in two tables of stone. Deuteronomy 10:4, we just read that in the Shorter Catechism. And Exodus 34, selected verses like 1 through 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up into the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount, and no man shall come up with thee, and so forth. Verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up to Mount Sinai, and as the Lord has commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Now some scholars say that whereas some people have the idea that the first four, and this is the idea in the second phrase of this question, that the first table of the Ten Commandments contains the first four commandments containing our duty to God, and the other table of stone contains the other six commandments containing our duty to man. But other theologians have said that the two tables each contain all Ten Commandments, each contain, as it were, a copy of the covenant, because a covenant is between two parties, and so each party gets their copy of the covenant. But the second half of the answer says, that the moral law summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments is recorded in the 20th chapter of Exodus, the first four commandments containing our duty to God and the other six our duty to man. And for proof, the Catechism offers Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there you see the duty to God and then the duty to neighbor. But some have said that really that because our parents or parents stand to the child, as it were, in the place of God, and because magistrates are called gods, that actually the first five commandments contain our duty to God, that when we honor our father and mother, it's also honoring God when we obey the magistrate, that's also obeying God, and so forth. So there's not necessarily a scriptural division between which commandments relate to our duty to God and which relate to our duty to man. Okay, let's flip over to the Confession of Faith, chapter 19, and pick up where we left off yesterday. We looked at section 1 yesterday. Today we'll look at section 2 and maybe 3. Section 2 of chapter 19 says, "This law," we're talking about the moral law, "after his fall," Adam's fall, "continued to be a perfect rule of righteousness, and as such was delivered by God upon Mount Sinai in 10 commandments, and written in 2 tables, the first 4 commandments containing our duty to God, and the other 6 our duty to man." There's again that assertion. And again, the proof there for that last assertion is the same as the larger catechism, Matthew 22:37-40, which doesn't necessarily prove that there's a 4 and 6 division, just that there is a division between our duty to God and our duty to man. But let's look at the first section. The verses are a little bit different from the larger catechism. "This law continued to be a perfect rule of righteousness." Okay, James 1:25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." James 2:8. "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do so, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." So James is talking about the Ten Commandments when he calls it the perfect law. And the confession says that this is our perfect rule of righteousness. Romans 13:8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So love thy neighbor means obey the law with respect to your neighbor. If you steal your neighbor's barbecue or seduce your neighbor's wife, you're not loving your neighbor, even if you have all kinds of nice, warm, fuzzy feelings about your neighbor. Love is not just feeling. Love is action, and specifically, it's obeying the commandments of God. Notice that when Paul speaks about loving thy neighbor, he speaks of adultery, killing, stealing, bearing false witness, and coveting, which are the 5 commandments, suggesting, as some theologians have noted, that the first 5 commandments, including honor thy father and mother, have to do with your obedience to God. Deuteronomy 5:32, "You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." Deuteronomy 10:4, "And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me." And Exodus 34:1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest." Okay, section 3. Besides this law, commonly called moral, God was pleased to give to the people of Israel as a church under age ceremonial laws containing several typical ordinances, partly of worship, prefiguring Christ, his graces, actions, sufferings, and benefits, and partly holding forth diverse instructions of moral duties, all which ceremonial laws are now abrogated under the New Testament. Okay, let's look at the first. Besides this law, commonly called moral, God was pleased to give to the people of Israel as a church under age ceremonial laws containing several typical ordinances, partly of worship, prefiguring Christ, his graces, actions, sufferings, and benefits. The first reference is Hebrews 9. It says, read the whole chapter. We don't have time to read the whole chapter here. Hebrews 10:1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a slave or servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Note a couple of things. It says God was pleased to give the people of Israel as a church underage. Well, the underage, that's from Galatians 4. But the people of Israel, some have suggested that the ceremonial law came about at the time of Moses, when Israel was Israel. But the ceremonial law predates Israel. If you recall, Cain and Abel had a dispute over the ceremonial law, over whose sacrifice, whose obedience to the ceremonial law was approved by God. And Cain killed Abel in this dispute over the ceremonial law. First thing that Noah did after he got off the ark after the flood was build an altar and begin sacrifices. Those are ceremonial laws. And also, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Partly, it says in the second segment of this section, partly holding forth diverse instructions of moral duties. In other words, there are within the ceremonial laws some moral duties. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You can see there are lots of allusions to the ceremonial law. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Again, a reference to the laws of cleanliness. And Jude 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So what the confession is suggesting here is that these ceremonial laws were teaching moral principles. And so even if the ceremonial law has been abrogated, that the moral teaching of the ceremonial law still applies. And then finally, all which ceremonial laws are now abrogated under the New Testament. And for that they offer Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, that is to say, both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Some have argued that actually these laws are not abrogated. For example, when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, Jesus," he was showing that we still have a duty to bring a Lamb of God before God. But the Lamb is Jesus. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Tomorrow, on day 62, we'll begin looking at a third category of law, having looked now at the moral law and the ceremonial law. Tomorrow we'll look at the judicial laws in section 4 of chapter 19 of the Confession of Faith.